Thank you, Clay. Galatians chapter 1. Starting a four-part series tonight in the book of Galatians, talking about God's amazing grace. Title of our series, God's Amazing Grace. Tonight, our first message is going to cover the whole chapter, verses 1 through 24. We'll read that whole chapter just for purpose of introduction, and then our outline will cover the whole chapter as well. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 24, Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. A couple of different theories or opinions about when Paul wrote this letter, mid AD 50 to late AD 50, somewhere in that range, several years after he made his first missionary journey there in Galatia. All right, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men. For if I still pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by the face of the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. God, thank you for your word. As we come to this part of the service, Lord, thank you for this time together, God. Just give us insight into your word. Help us to understand it, receive it, and apply it to our lives, God. And I pray that I will decrease. In the words of John the Baptist, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Forgive me of my sins. Give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. When Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town, he was stopped by a policeman and charged with speeding. Graham admitted his guilt, but was told by the officer that he would have to appear in court. The judge asked, guilty or not guilty? Graham pled guilty, and the judge replied, that will be $10, a dollar for every mile per hour you went over the speed limit. Suddenly, the judge recognized the famous minister. You have violated the law, he said. The fine must be paid, but I'm going to pay it for you. He took out a $10 bill from his own wallet and attached it to the ticket. And then later, the judge took Graham out and bought him a steak dinner. That, said Billy Graham, is how God treats repentant sinners. As I said, tonight we're starting a four-part series about God's amazing grace. And I think this story about Billy Graham is a great story that illustrates God's grace. But our series tonight is based on the teachings of Paul that are found here in the book of Galatians. Galatians is Paul's letter to the churches that he helped start and found in the region known as Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. Galatians is the only letter that is only letter of Paul's that is written to a region and not one particular church in one particular city. Paul, on his missionary journey, his first missionary journey, founded churches in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, which were all located within that region of Galatia. And you can read about his travels, his missionary journeys to that region in Acts chapter 13 and 14. But Paul wrote the book of Galatians. Please understand this for the basis of our understanding our series. He wrote this to counter the false teachers who were infiltrating those churches in Galatia, who were undermining the central, important New Testament doctrine of salvation by grace through faith, and by grace through faith alone. We know, of course, the verse Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by what? Grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Acts chapter 15, we read about a dispute that took place during the days of the early church. There was a dispute, a debate, a argument, if you will, that had come about in the early church about whether or not the Gentiles, the non-Jews, had to comply or adhere to the Old Testament law in order to be saved. And so they had a meeting there in Jerusalem, and all the early church leaders came together. You can read about that in Acts chapter 15, and they debated this issue, talked about it, and the Apostle Peter stood up and he said this in Acts chapter 15, verse 11. He says, but we believe that through the, listen, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. That conference, that meeting among leaders became known as the Jerusalem Council. And they issued this decree. They issued a decree, a doctrine of the Christian faith that said that Jews and Gentiles are both saved the same. And that is by grace through faith. It is not necessary to adhere to an Old Testament law in order for salvation to take place. Well, we see that those false teachers who infiltrated the churches in Galatia ignored that decree of the Jerusalem Council. They were teaching that those Gentiles in Galatia, in order to be saved, must submit to the Old Testament law to become a Christian. So Paul sends this letter as a warning to the church. He sends this as a warning to the churches and the believers there, and he sets the record straight regarding grace and law. Sets the record straight regarding grace and law, or grace and works. Before we get into the body of the message, let's get a working definition of grace. And define grace for not only tonight, but the rest of our series. Now, you know, we're having a marriage seminar this Saturday. It's going to be a four-hour seminar, and I know it's going to be a great seminar, but, you know, we could hold a three-day seminar. We could hold a week-long seminar to define and explain God's grace. There are many ways to define God's grace and explain it and illustrate it, but My favorite way to define grace is this way. And I talked about this in a previous message when I filled in for Dr. May several months ago. And you may remember this. But here's God's grace. God's grace is that He gives to us what we don't deserve. God's grace, He gives to us what we do not deserve. Write that down if you're taking notes. God's grace is that He does for us what we do not deserve. I was born into this world a sinner, born into this world with a sin nature. What do I deserve? What is my final destination because of my sin nature? It's hell, right? I don't deserve heaven. But God gave me a home in heaven that I do not deserve. That's because of His grace. Now let's explain the flip side of grace. We occasionally talk about grace and mercy together. Grace is God giving to us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving to us what we do deserve. I was born into this world as a sinner. I deserve hell, but because of God's mercy, I'm not going to hell. Because of His grace, I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, y'all don't hear me this evening. God's grace, He gives to us what we don't deserve. God's mercy, God doesn't give to us what we do deserve. You may have heard this, grace, each letter of the word grace, standing for a word, an acronym. God's grace is defined this way, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Listen, we do not deserve all of the blessings and benefits that comes from being a child of God. Think about how God has blessed you in your life since you became a Christian, how He has provided for you, how He's fulfilled His promises to you, His promises found in His Word, how He provides on a daily basis all the blessings of life, all the benefits that comes from being a child of God. We do not deserve that, but it is provided to us, it is given to us, it is part of the Christian life, all because of nothing else but the grace of God. Monday night, Clemson University played Alabama University in the national championship game. Alabama versus Clemson. And Clemson won. Can I get an amen? Amen. Wow, boy, that got a response. Somebody about jumped a pew over that. I don't know what that was about. Clemson won the ball game, 44-16. Anyway, after the ball game, Dabo Swinney, the coach of the Clemson Tigers, was interviewed. And in case you didn't know, Dabo Swinney is a very committed Christian. He's a man of faith. And in his interviews, he'll speak Jesus, man. He really will. In an interview after the game, they had won the national championship, and Dabo Swinney on national television said, "We are only here by the grace of God." That's good, isn't it? It really is. What he's saying there, he's acknowledging the authority and the sovereignty of God, that He rules and reigns over the whole universe, and the blessing to be able to stand there as the coach of a national championship college football team only came about by the grace of God. God's grace is unmerited favor, undeserved favor granted to us by God. So tonight we're going to talk about our tonight's lesson is entitled, No Other Gospel. No Other Gospel. Notice, first of all, notice three things here in this passage. But we got to go quick for the sake of time. Notice number one, first of all, notice the prelude to Paul's letter. The prelude to Paul's letter. Look at verse 1-5. Paul, an apostle, not from men or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, notice this, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul went through Galatia, as I said, on his first missionary journey. He shared the gospel. He led people to the Lord. He started churches. And Paul later heard, the news got back to Paul, that false teachers had infiltrated these same churches and was teaching that Paul's version of the gospel were not sufficient. These five verses here serve as an introduction to Paul's letter. And notice in his introduction, not by coincidence, Paul says in this introduction, he mentions grace and peace. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God. This is significant as Paul is writing to teach grace and grace alone that we are saved. You see, it is God's grace. Listen to me, church. It is God's grace that leads to God's peace. Amen. We are born into this world as sinners, lost, and in our lost, unsaved condition, we are in search of peace. That inner peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction that only God can bring. It is only because of the grace of God that we are saved and as a result, able to find inner, true peace in life. Listen, as a salvation based on works that they're teaching, these false teachers are teaching to the Galatian churches, a salvation based on works does not lead to peace. Amen? Salvation based on works results in a personal burden and conflict. When we get saved, we are set free. We are redeemed, the Bible teaches, set free from our sin. Set free from the penalty and the power and in heaven, the presence of sin. But if you base your salvation on working for that salvation, you are in bondage. You are not free. That is a false gospel. No other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ can we be set free and as a result have an inner peace. I read about a report that was in Moody Bible Institute magazine reported this statistic that appeared in a journal as a result of a report or research. It said, since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. It was discovered that out of 3,530 years of recorded history, only 286 years saw peace. They also discovered in their research that over 8,000 peace treaties were signed and then broken. Point number one in this introduction to Paul's letter, understand that because of God's grace, we can be at peace with a holy God. We can be at peace with God and we can have the peace of God only by His grace. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see number one here, we see the prelude to Paul's letter. Notice number two, notice the problem in the Galatian churches. The problem in the Galatian churches, look at verse 6 through 10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ. Notice that verse, powerful statement there, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even we or an angel from heaven preach, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the heart of the letter guys, right here. This is Paul's main concern. This is the foundation of his message right here. And I just want to take just a minute here real quick and just point out some of his statements and some of his words here and get a good understanding of what he's telling the people here. He says, first of all, verse 6, I marvel. That word marvel comes from a Greek word. The original translation of that Greek word means to be amazed, astonished, bewildered. I read one Bible commentator that said that Paul was dumbfounded. Dumbfounded at what is happening in these Galatian churches. Paul can't believe it. He says, I marvel that you are turning away. That two-word phrase there comes from a Greek word that was used in Paul's day to describe military desertion. He says, like, you're like a deserter from the military, a deserter of the army. You've gone AWOL in your Christian faith. And it's to point out the seriousness of how he felt, this word, this Greek word for turning away, was used to describe military desertion, which was punishable by death in Paul's day. He says, you're turning away. You have deserted. You've went AWOL to a different gospel, he says here. And he goes on to say that it is a perverted gospel of Christ. The word pervert there means to distort or to twist. They're teaching an untruth. These false teachers were taking the true gospel and distorting it, changing it by adding requirements, ceremonies, Old Testament laws and standards as the prerequisite to salvation. Paul's heart aches and is broken over this false gospel infiltrating the churches there in Galatia and teaching a false doctrine. He says, I can't believe that you're accepting this, that you've letting this go on. And these false teachers were teaching something that we would call today legalism. Legalism, and that's we could expand on that, talk on that for days as well. But let me give you a quick definition of legalism. Notice this, legalism, establishing requirements for salvation beyond repentance and faith in Jesus. In other words, the Bible teaches that the good news of the gospel is all that you have to do to be saved is turn from your sinful ways, repent, and put your faith and trust in Jesus, and that is salvation. Nothing else. And legalism is when you add do's and don'ts to that, to adhere to, and that is a false gospel. That is so far from the deeps, from the pits of hell, it smells like smoke. That is an untruth. That is not the gospel. And some teach the legalism that they are teaching about salvation. And then after salvation, they say, well, okay, you've been saved. Well, now you've got to keep this list of do's and don'ts. You got to keep these rules and regulations to gain God's favor. We don't work to gain God's favor. Amen? We don't work to gain our salvation. It is all about the grace of God. So that is legalism. It is a false doctrine. It is he refers to it as a different gospel. Adding something that is not biblically based. Real quick. Years ago, I heard about a pastor that found the roads were blocked on a Sunday morning due to bad weather. He was forced to skate on the frozen river to get to church, which he did. When he arrived, the elders of the church were horrified that their preacher had skated on the Lord's day. After the service, they held a meeting, and the pastor explained that it was either skate to church or he didn't go at all. Finally, one elder asked, "Did you enjoy it?" When the preacher answered no, the board of elders decided it was all right. That's legalism. putting restrictions on people, putting rules on people that you have to abide by to gain God's favor. Be careful, church. Listen, my Wednesday night friends, be careful. False doctrine was infiltrating the churches in Paul's day, and the same can be said about today. There are false teachings being taught in the church of America today, and it don't have to be another denomination, another religion. False teaching is infiltrating the Southern Baptist churches of America today as well. Know what the Bible says. Amen? Know what the Bible says. Know the teachings of the Bible. Beware of false teachings. And I thought about this, and you know, we have so much access to the internet and to television and preachers and so-called Bible teachers on TV and all the media ways of media we have to hear so-called preachers. Be careful. Be careful. Don't get caught up in the, and don't be receiving that false teaching. I'm thinking about this lesson and series and God's grace versus getting caught up in works to please God. That can happen to us without somebody teaching us. I wish we had more time, but you know, legalism is a very easy thing to fall into. Come on. You know why? Because it's all about pride. When we're doing those good works, when we're keeping this rule and that rule and this do's and these don'ts, we begin to tell ourselves, look at me. Look at all these rules I'm keeping. Look at all these regulations I'm adhering to. Be careful. Am I right? Know the teachings of the Bible. We are saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. I got to hurry. And after we're saved, it is obedience to God's word that brings his blessings, not keeping a list of do's and don'ts. So we see here the prelude to Paul's letter, the problem in the churches of Galatia. And number three, we've got to close. Notice real quick, Paul's personal testimony. Verse 11 through 24, we won't take time to read that. But what we see here is Paul gives a brief biography of his life. He is defending, but see, his what he taught is being challenged. And so he defends his apostleship and then proves that the gospel that he taught is authentic and true. He told his story. He told his story. As we close, take just a moment, and I want you to look around and look at the people around you. Look around. I mean, really, turn around and look. Look at me. Do you see anybody in here that looks just like you? Praise the Lord, nobody looks like me, right? We are different. We are all different in so many ways. But we are very much the same in one unique way. We're all saved by the grace of God. And like Paul, we all have a story to tell. Born in this world, lost as a goose, on our way to hell, but by the grace of God, I've been saved, and I'm on my way to heaven. We all have that same story to tell. Be careful. Understand and know the grace of God and live by that and be ready to tell that to somebody else that needs to hear it. Let's pray.